I want to start off with a scripture here in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. And I want you to see what the Word of God says here. And this, we'll just hit three or four of these little scriptures. Because I have been confronted with the fact that a lot of people tell me that, you know, that Jesus didn't expect people to repent before He healed them. But I want us to see a few places where He talks about some of these things and just see what His message was. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, look what this says. And He said, what? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Now then, did Jesus say repent? Okay, so if He was talking to those people back there, He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Is the kingdom of heaven at hand today? Yes, where is the kingdom of heaven today? That's exactly right, brother. It's in you and me. So it's here. So the Lord tells us to repent. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, and let's see what He says here. Matthew 4, 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, this was His message. Repent. He's telling people to repent. Repent of your sins. I mean, as you read the Bible and study the Bible, you'll have to realize that all through the Bible, God demands that once we become His children, that we don't sin, that we walk holy and obedient to His Word. Now, that's something that I didn't learn in church. I mean, I read the Scriptures, I listened to God, but some way that just never did come across to me that I'm not supposed to sin. In fact, here a while back, I baptized some young people, two little brothers. They're only about this big. And I taught them from the Scripture that once you get baptized, the Scripture clearly says that when you go down in that water and you die with Jesus and you're raised to walk in newness of life, you're never to sin again. Once you're raised in that water, you're to die to sin. And if you die to sin, that means you put it away. And so you're not supposed to sin anymore. So I asked those children every once in a while, I said, boys, once you got saved and you were baptized, how much are you supposed to sin? Or how often are you allowed to sin? And they both tell me, we're not allowed to sin at all. There is to be no more sin in our life. I thought, you know, if I had been taught that from the time I was baptized when I was 11, if I had been taught by the pastor in the church and my mother and dad that we are to walk holy before God, there is to be no sin in our life, I think how much better my life could have been. You know what I mean? You know, in fact, we had an awesome testimony. Pat was talking to a lady this last week, and she said that, I think she watched us on GLC, why she called in. We were out there just this last week and made a two-hour program, and I talked about the sin-sickness relationship from the Word of God. And this woman says, when I heard Thurman talk about that, said it brought back something to my memory. She said, I got really bad sick, and I'd been sick a month. And she said, I had no idea what was making me sick. So she said, I'd never heard these principles taught in church. But she said, all of a sudden, I had a vision and an out-of-body experience with Jesus, and there stood Jesus at the foot of my bed. And some people say, I don't believe that. Well, you know, okay, God can do anything. I mean, I believe that. If this woman told me she had an out-of-body experience with Jesus, there ain't nothing hard for God. So we need to learn to think like God, because with Him, nothing's impossible. And as long as you think like man, you won't see God do very much. But anyway, this woman, she had this problem. And she was deathly sick, really sick, and had been for about a month, I believe she said. And then when she had the out-of-body experience and saw Jesus, He revealed to her that she had an unforgiveness toward another woman. And when He revealed that to her, she knew it was true. Now, she had no concept of what the Scripture teaches about what happens when we as children of God get into a state of unforgiveness and what it does. She had no knowledge of that. But she realized when she had this unforgiveness, the Lord revealed to her that she needed to forgive that person, because she had read in the scripture where it says forgive. And so she forgave the woman. She called the woman, got right with her. And after she got right with the woman, then it was miraculously wonderful. She got well. She still had no idea what caused it. But I'm going to take you somewhere in the scripture right now, and I want to show you in the Word of God, in Matthew chapter 18, starting with verse 21, and I want to show you what happens. I read this many times before this became a revelation to me. So I didn't get this the first time through. It took several times for me to get this, but in Matthew 18, 21 through 35, this is what the scripture says. Then came Peter to Jesus and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" I mean, now, after all, let's just think now. Let's say that I was somebody and I walked up to you and I said something to you that you didn't like at all. I mean, I said something that, you know, that just cut you like a knife. Now, you're a Christian and I'm a Christian. Are you supposed to forgive me for that? Okay, and I know I'm supposed to. Okay, so I forgive. But 30 minutes later, I come back by and I make that cutting statement to you a second time. How many times did Peter say, forgive? Seven? Do you know very many people that can go seven times? I mean, you know, let's say, since you're a woman and you're laughing, is this gentleman here?
She is mine.
She's yours, okay. Okay, so if he gets under your skin, now I know he's never done this in his life, never, ever, ever. I know he's just like me. He never gets under his wife's skin. But let's say he does get under your skin, and you know you got to forgive him, and then you forgive him, and 30 minutes later he's done the same thing again. Now it's a little tougher to forgive him second time, because he just 30 minutes ago you had to do this again, right? And then 30 minutes later he does it again. By the time four or five times comes, you're ready to grab him by the nape of the neck and punch him out, right? Now, Peter said, "Lord, do I forgive my brother seven times?" And what did Jesus answer? Let's look and see what he said. Jesus said unto him, "I say not unto thee seven times, but 70 times seven." Now, that's 490 times you've got to forgive this critter. In one day. I mean, give me a break. Who could possibly do that? Almost nobody, right? Almost nobody. But if Jesus told us we have to forgive our brothers up to 490 times in one day, it must be important that we forgive, right? I mean, he didn't say that. No, it's kind of like, you know, when you tell your children to do something, you know, let's say, for instance, that I'm trying to think of an example here right quick. Say that you're working on a porch on a building and you live on the fifth floor. And the railing is all down. And they're putting new railing up. And you've got little kids, 6, 8, 10 years old. Now, you tell them and tell them and tell them, while that guy's working on that railing, you do not even go close. You don't go through that door. You don't go outside. Because what is the possibility from the fifth floor with three kids going out on that little thing? What's the possibility of them falling off? Very good, right, young lady? If nothing else, they'll get the squabbling out there, and one of them will push on the other one, and that's kind of a fatal step, five stories, isn't it? So you tell them over and over and over and over. Somebody said, "Well, what if you had to tell them 50 times? Well, if I have to tell them 100 times. But Jesus didn't say 100 times. He said 490 times you have to forgive. So do you reckon he's trying to save us from something? He must be trying to save us from something, wouldn't you say? If it's this important that I forgive you 490 times, but I don't know hardly anybody today that can do that. Even husbands and wives. Usually it only takes one little mistake. And then I'll say about my wife, see, so I do something that gets under her skin. Well, he don't love me anymore. Does those kind of things come into people's mind? Sure. And I just did it one time. Do y'all know where I'm coming from? But if he does it 10 times in one day, you're beginning to think, this guy, maybe he don't love me anymore, right? Instead of just doing what Jesus said and just forgive him and forget it and go on, right? Does it take a real special person to forgive somebody 490 times in one day? But it must be important. Why? There's got to be something here that Jesus knows that we don't know, that he's trying to tell us it's so important that we walk in love all the time. It'd have to be important if he says 490 times in one day, wouldn't it, brother? Has to be. So let's go ahead and see what he says in verse 23 and 24. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. Now, where did we just say the kingdom of heaven is? Right in here. It's in us. That's right. The kingdom of heaven, when Jesus came, it moved into us. When we accept him as Lord and Savior, the kingdom of heaven lives right here within us. And it says, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now that's about, in today's money, that would be about $3.8 billion. Now, I realize with our new federal government, that wouldn't be nothing. That's pocket change. We're talking in trillions now. But you know, if we keep it down on a personal level, $3.8 billion is not exactly pocket change, is it? No. 10,000 talents, you might think, well, that's $10,000. That's not much money. $10,000 is not a lot of money to some people. But $10,000 is a lot of money to some people. But he's not talking about $10,000. He's talking about 10,000 talents, which is about $4 billion, thereabouts. Close. Now, $4 billion, still a lot of money. Verse 25 and 26. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. And then here's something that we don't get a hold of. Not only, since this man couldn't pay his debt, he was going to have to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, in other words, his cars, his trucks, his boats, his airplanes, his bank account, his house, everything that he had, and payment to be made.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Have You Prayed Yet? In its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.